We love one another. We love you. And we hope that you are edified today by this message from the Lord. Before we get into our lesson, I do want to remind everybody about Wednesday evening. Again, we've got two studies going on, one at 6:15, the diseases of the heart and their cure, and the other one is at 7:30 in the book of Revelation. And so we invite you, please, and encourage you to come for those lessons. Our message today is simply titled, The Sin of Pride. Very important lesson for every one of us. When it comes to pride, the scriptures are very clear. It is a sin. And what the problem with pride is that it leads our souls in the pathway of destruction. There's no way around that. Solomon made this perfectly clear when Solomon said that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. So what is pride exactly? In the negative sense, Webster tells us that it is an exaggerated self-esteem. Remember that word, exaggerated. Webster connects this synonym to that word, and the word of synonym is conceit, which is especially excessive appreciation for one's own self-worth. C.S. Lewis Institute has a writing in an article called Pride and Humility, and this is one of the quotes from that. God defines pride as an attitude of self-exaltation, self-sufficiency, and self-worship that puts self in the place of God. Therein lies the true problem. When we are filled with pride, we begin to be self-motivated, self-controlled, and we begin to take the place of God in our own lives. What are the key aspects of this issue? Well, I'm going to give you four real quickly here. Self-focus, right? That's the obsession that one would have with, you know, with themselves, right? There's no room for God in your life when everything is about me. No room in my life. Also, stealing glory. It involves taking credit and glory for your talent, for your success, for your life itself, which rightly belongs to God alone, all those things. It is an issue of independence, right? It's a belief that one person does not need God. I'm independent from God. I don't need God's grace. I don't need God's guidance. I don't need God's leading in spiritual matters. And in self-righteousness, I don't need God to tell me anything. And the contempt for others is also an issue that is brought up toward people. We have pride that manifests an arrogant, conceited kind of attitude, an indifference that looks for people to be less than us. When we're filled with pride, we find ourselves above others. And so we'll expound on some of these if you kind of connect them with the rest of the study. And the four reasons we think about, reasons why God and Christians hate pride, right? Pride precedes destruction. We have that in our text, as Solomon warns us. It's an abomination, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. It's an abomination that explicitly hates pride, arrogance, evil behaviors. That's something Solomon wrote about, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, right? Pride and arrogance, Solomon said, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Those are things that Solomon says that are true about pride. Also, pride is at the root of all sin. Think about the biblical tradition. When we read the scriptures, we realize that it was pride that caused Eve to see that fruit, to eat of that fruit, even though she knew it was wrong, but it was the pride of life, right? That was what caused her to do that. And Adam and Eve both partook. And the fall happened, Genesis chapter 3, we read about that. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 is a very clear scripture. We read there how in chapter 12 of Isaiah 14 verse 12, you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning, how you are cut down to the ground, who are weakened, have weakened the nations. Listen, when we read that, I want to make something clear. The world mistakenly refers to this text as the devil, Satan, being cast out of prison to the earth. And that is not what it is. So we want to get that cleared up right away. The Hebrew word that is used for Lucifer there is actually a word that means the bright shining one, the morning star or the day star. That word, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce the word. It's not a name. It's not a name, Lucifer. It's actually a descriptive word that describes the shining one. Now, in the Latin Vulgate, that word was translated by Jerome as Lucifer, literally centuries later. The King James and the New King James Bibles kept that word, Lucifer. But if you look at, you know, I have 45 different translations in my home, and all 45 translations except for King James and New King James use phrases like day star, the one of light, the bright one, and the morning star, the shining one. And so King James Bible does have that error that leads people to believe something that isn't true. So I just want to make that clear. It is a root of evil, and the point is that it causes people to fall. And this particular verse in Isaiah is about the king of Babylon. It's not about Lucifer, the devil. Fourth, pride opposes God's grace. Think about what James wrote, James chapter 4 and James verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God actively opposes arrogance, self-reliance. He generously pours out his grace upon the undeserving, the unearned favor of us. Spiritual strength to those who are humble in the heart, in mind. And that's how we're raised up. Solomon said, surely he comes to the, scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. That's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. So God, he resists the proud. He makes a person that is self-reliant to be reliant upon him. That he takes the arrogant person and humbles them in their hearts through his word. It's kind of like a military style standoff between God and the way of the world. But he gives more grace to the humble. So humility is honest admission of my human limitations. Humility is an honest admission of my human limitations. I'm not God. I'll never be God. I only strive to be like my Lord and my Savior, who loves me and died for me. Recognizing a deep need for God makes a person open to receiving help from God. If we don't think we have any needs, if we think we're all set and almighty and I have everything I need and I've provided for myself all my life, I don't need God for anything, then we'll never learn. We'll never receive his help. Right? Understanding something, we're not talking about the sense of pride that comes from winning a race. You run a marathon and at the end you come out the winner and yeah, you can have pride that you've worked hard and you've accomplished something great. Having pride that you achieved a goal that you've strived for is not wrong. There's nothing wrong. Rather, it's the kind of pride that goes beyond feeling good. It's the kind of pride that it goes beyond feeling good about an accomplishment. It's the kind of pride that elevates us and exalts us in the view of self while minimizing God. That kind of pride is sin. The kind of pride that lifts myself up while looking down on others. You know, I want you to, you know, the Lord our Creator says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9, He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, we'll never be like God in the sense of His omniscience, His omnipresence, and His omnipotence. He knows everything. He is present everywhere, and He has all power. So we think in terms of God like this balance, okay? God is on this side, and we are on that side, and God outweighs us in every sense of the word. But what we have tempted to do is we put God on that side, and we put us on this side to the point where we feel like we don't need God. I'm in control. Everything's going well. And that means that our pride makes us act like we are gods. And none of that's true. And think about God. He is the one who made us. Right? Shall the clay say to him who forms it, "Who are you, or what are you making?" Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9. We don't question our maker. We just love him and yield to his will. So pride says, I can do it without God. I don't need God. I deserve better than others. I don't need correction. I know what's right for me, and I'm more important than other people. And humility is for the weak. That's what pride says. It's the kind of pride that never glorifies God unless something goes wrong, right? It's like the car crash. I don't know if you've ever been in a car crash, but I myself have, and I've talked to other people who have, and one of the things that the atheist says right before the car crash is, "Oh God," right? It's when you lose your health. And all this, and you could be a Christian and be a guilty of pride because you don't turn to God daily in everything, but then you lose your health and all of a sudden it's, "God help me." You lose your job. "Oh God, what am I going to do? Help me." I'm overcome by the problems and the trials and tribulations of life. And now I turn to God and say, "God, help me through these hard times." It's the kind of pride that doesn't wake up every morning and praise God for the breath that you just took. That doesn't praise God for the daily blessings that you have been blessed with, for the food, the clothing, the shelter, your health. Well, confidence, success, having knowledge, independence, none of these are sinful. But the danger is that they can easily and unnoticeably, they can turn one's heart to pridefulness. They're not sinful in themselves, only if they're taking hold and taking root of pride. Again, think of the words of James. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right? Focus on the word God resists the proud. For overlooking them is devastating to our spiritual life. We have to understand that pride is something that we should hate. Pride is something that God does hate. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 with me. We want to look at an example in King Uzziah. Uzziah became king of Judah when he was only 16 years old. And at first, he ruled wonderfully. His story was one of remarkable success. And I just want to look at 4 points from this chapter. Look at Chronicles 26, verse 5. And what you read there is that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. God gave Uzziah military victory over his enemies. He gave him wealth. He gave him strength, health, and a powerful kingdom. But tragically, something changed. His success turned to pridefulness, and that became a real problem. Look at verses 15 and 16. We read, and he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Think about what happened there. His heart was lifted up. That's the definition of pride. Uzziah forgot the Lord, and the reason why he had success, the reason why he won the battles, the reason why he had such wealth and power. And that led him to believe in his own strength and forget the Lord's working in his life. That power resulted in victories was no longer there. That led to God resisting him. God resists the prideful, right? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, Paul said, and in tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, Romans 5, 3, and 4. What does that have to do with this point? It's pretty simple. We must be warned that yes, we learn from perseverance, we learn from our trials and tribulations, and they do produce character and hope. But something else goes on here. We want to think about the fact that we do have strength and character through adversity. But the danger is success can do the same, can do the opposite. Our successes can build us up to a point where we feel like there's nothing that can stop me. I have the whole world in my hand. I'm in control. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14 is where I want you to look. We read a lot of things here. Moses warns the people not to forget God. He says, you know, the problem is you've eaten and you're full. So I've got it all. And he says, when you have beautiful houses that you built and you dwell in, I have it all. When your livestock multiplies and it multiplies your silver and your gold, your wealth, and I have everything I need. He says, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, that's the problem. He's saying that they had this great wealth, this great success. They didn't have any poverty. Everything was going so great that they just forgot God. Uzziah's problem is he depended upon God when he was weak, but then when he was powerful and successful, it all went to his head, and he forgot God. And Uzziah, pride caused him to cross boundaries. In 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21, Uzziah enters the temple and attempts to burn incense on the altar of the Lord, which is only for the priests lawfully. Right? And Azariah, the priest, and 80 other priests, they confront him. You read that. In verse 18, they told him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. It's not for you to do that." Right? You're the king. You have great authority over the people, over the armies, over the treasures. You have authority over so many things, but it's not, you don't have authority to be here in this place and burn all incense on the altar to the Lord. Uzziah became angry. Why? Because pride doesn't like correction. And in the world that we live in today, multitudes of religious bodies are doing the exact same thing, right? They believe that it's okay for them to do what they will in a worship service like this. So they have praise teams, and they have light shows, and bands, and guitars, and pianos, and people who lead them, choirs, and so on. And they have all kinds of things going on that are not authorized by God. But they like it. And as for Uzziah, God humbled him, verses 19 through 22. Think about this phrase, the man who once had been lifted up in strength by God was brought down by God because of his pride. It's interesting to me also, the name Uzziah, it means my strength is Yahweh, or the Lord is my strength in Hebrew. So what do we learn from this? Listen, seeking the Lord brings us strength, forsaking Him brings us a downfall. That's what happened with Uzziah, Nebuchadnezzar. That's what happened to them. They were built up. They had a great kingdom going. They did everything. God blessed them. And then they got prideful and they had a fall. Nebuchadnezzar, we read about him. He was before Uzziah and he ended up eating grass in the field like an animal until he came to the understanding that God is holy and righteous. Secondly, our spiritual service must follow God-given boundaries. We can go back to Leviticus chapter 10. We can read accounts of Nadab and Abihu who came and offered strange fire to the Lord. And the Lord destroyed them. Why? Because it was a strange fire. It was something that was unauthorized by God. Third, God remains a sovereign despite human pridefulness. As members of His kingdom, we know that our God is King. We know that our God is not shaken, neither is His kingdom. Uzziah's success came as he sought God, but when his heart was lifted up, he forgot God. Uzziah died a fallen man. His forehead struck with leprosy because of his sin, and he was cut off from the house of the Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 19 through 21. So through all this, God remains holy. Through all this, God remains immortal. Through all this, God remains exalted high above all. Turn with me quickly to the book of Acts, and we think about King Agrippa. Herod Agrippa. Herod accepted glory that belonged only to God. He enjoyed the praises of people when he spoke. He didn't correct the people and say, "Give God glory." He allowed himself to be exalted, lifted up. And in verse 23, we read these words, "And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died." Spiritually, when we stop giving God glory, we begin to die. And I love it when I hear the phrases, glory be to God, praise God, give God the glory. I hear brethren say that all the time. But when we stop saying that, our hearts become hardened. Pride steals glory from God. We need to remember that. What did God say in Isaiah 42? He says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Well, I'll tell you, Herod's problem wasn't simply that he allowed the people to praise him. It was that he accepted that praise and the glory as though he were God. Our pride takes what belongs to God and places it upon ourselves. And so we need to remember how devastating that can be. Pride has a terrible ending. It always does. Before the downfall, a person's heart is proud, Solomon said. Right? Pride goes before destruction, Solomon said. So he stood before the temple as a powerful king. Moments later, he was struck down. Solomon warns that this kind of pride is destructive. Remember, Herod was eaten by worms. Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal eating grass in the field till he got his mind right with God. And Uzziah, he had leprosy and died. I want to get this point across here with Daniel. I think it's very important. In Daniel chapter 5, and you could turn there and kind of follow along, we consider King Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar their success. But they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron, wood and stone in verse 14, that Belshazzar. In verse 5, we read about these fingers of a man's hand and how they wrote on the plaster of the wall. And they wrote a message. And Daniel was asked to come and interpret that message. And Daniel said, O King Most High God, you gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. Wonderful phrase. But then in verse 20, we read something devastating. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed, taken down, the kingdom taken away. And they took his glory from him. Daniel and Belshazzar, they have a lot of things in common here. Their hearts were lifted. Daniel told Belshazzar that his heart was lifted up in verse 22, and his spirit was hardened with pride. And in verses 26 through 30, if you're looking there, it explains that writing on the wall said that Belshazzar, your kingdom is finished. Your days are numbered. You've been weighed and found wanting. Your kingdom has been taken, divided. In that very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And so pride is a terrible thing. Our human glory is temporary. God's glory is eternal. So what does pride do? Pride blinds us. Pride makes it impossible for us to receive correction. That's why it's so bad. We become blind. We can't receive correction. Pride destroys relationships between us, between other people, even us and God. Pride can destroy that. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. And so it destroys that relationship that we might have. So what's the secret? How do we overcome it? Look at this. Remember where everything came from. It all came from God. It all belongs to God. So we remember that. But who am I, David said? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of you, we have nothing. of our own we have nothing. Listen, he said that when the people gathered up goods and monies and things to help build the temple. And they did it in a massive way, in a great way. But God said, David said, I'm going to praise you, God. All this stuff that we have, how can we take credit? Because it all belongs to you. And then we look at Christ's example. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He being found in appearance, verse 8, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was willing to humble himself. Think about that. God coming down from heaven, humbling himself before his creation. So we need to be careful and learn to put others before ourselves, to make them better, more important, greater than self. And so those are 3 points. And finally, God, we give God the glory in everything. When we give God the glory, we're not going to be found to be prideful. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. That's what Paul commanded. With one mouth, with one mind, we glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, says the apostle in Romans. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whatever you do, do it all. So, think about a simple question. In my life, who gets the glory? We just look at ourselves in the mirror, ask that question. In my life, today, yesterday, 5 years ago, who gets the glory? When God gets the glory, pride loses its power. And so we need to remember that. Number 5, being willing to accept God's correction is something that we must accomplish. Solomon says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a man and he will increase in learning. We need to be able to accept instructions. As many as I loved, I rebuke, says the Lord. I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Words to live by. So Uzziah, don't let success cause you to forget God. From Herod, don't accept yourself for yourself the glory that belongs to God. And from Jesus, humble yourself in the sight of others. Rise up. That's what the world says. Rise up. Make sure everyone knows how important you are. James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Pride is sinful and it hurts. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. Pride is something that takes away from you what you should have. The secret to overcoming pride is pretty straightforward. Give God the credit for being greater than you are. Understand that everything you have came from God. My example, right? In front of Jesus, to be humble in my heart, as Jesus humbled himself. We see God's greatness when we see our own proper place in this world. He's the creator. We are the creation. We recognize God's goodness when we stop taking credit for all the great blessings that he gives us. And when we look at the Christian humility, we learn how to live the way that we should. Pride says, look at me. Humility, our Savior says, come unto me, all you who are labored and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. So today the question is, has pride kept you from coming to Jesus? Jesus is calling, come unto me. Has pride kept you from doing that? Because that's the most devastating side of pride. when we feel self-reliant, self-sufficient, when we feel like we don't need God, but we do. Because God will fill us with a goodness, with a grace, and with mercy. He'll fill us with peace and understanding that the world doesn't have. And He leads us in a pathway of righteousness that ultimately leads to that place called heaven. Don't let pride stop you from accepting the invitation of Jesus to come forward, to be baptized, to confess Him before men, to be added to His body, the church, and to begin to grow spiritually away from the way of the world and into the way of God. And if we are already members of the church, we need to be mindful of pride in our own lives. Are we hiding our sin even from ourselves? When we look in the mirror, do we turn away when we think about our sin? Or do we confront sin, repent of it, be zealous, as Jesus said? So if you have a need this day, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?